Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio. Welcome, guys. Hey, friends. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live at the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Eddie Kim, neckerchief naysayer and chambray apologist.
That's not cool.
As I look directly at... I don't know what you're dressed as, Matthew.
I'm just being me.
The yellow and the blue is a nice combination. It's very apropos, but...
Eddie's referencing my cool handkerchief that I'm wearing around my neck.
Neckerchief.
Yeah, neckerchief. So I'm making a neckerchief. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wile E. Coyote, proud necker and chief, and hamburger haberdasher. Every week we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week we are joined by two booze ruffians that hail from the very birthplace of the cocktail. Chris Hanna and Nick Dietrich of Manolito and the soon-to-be...
Jewel of the South.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. What brings you guys up here?
We are in town doing a preview of Jewel of the South at Tail Up Goat this evening. So
come on by, listeners and hotel guests.
We actually have a couple of extra hands in the studio today. On my left is John, the business partner in Jewel of the South, and also DC native, and Nate Mann. I'm too lazy to shake cocktails because I worked last night, so he is doing it for us.
This is the first. We've never had a guest bartender that's actually bartending.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually they just come and drink, so this is nice. Thank you, Nate, for making the effort.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
How is that edible, by the way?
It's in full force right now.
Yeah.
so we were
calling me an hour before this.
Yes. So Eddie tells me, he's like, I don't know if Nate's going to be able to come. Like, he just took an edible. He's not sure where he's going to be in, like, the next 30 minutes. So.
No, I had a wine tasting, so that's perfect.
All right, so
when you put up the bat signal, bartenders will come out of the woodwork.
That's right.
And always. and that's for you.
Anything for Eddie.
All right, before we get too far, something's in the news. Let's talk about what's been going on.
Yeah, let's do a little
bit
and recap.
All of us, or most of us, were actually at Bar Pilar on 14th Street last night.
A lot of familiar faces in here.
If there's one event to bring all the bartenders,
like every single bartender
in DC, anyone who's worked in industry in DC together, is Saeed Haddad's last day in DC. He GM'd and opened up Maidan. Most recently, and now he is moving to Thailand to, I forget what he's doing.
I think an Airbnb or something. I don't know. That doesn't sound very Saeed, but
sitting on a hammock. He's working for a brand down there, and he's just expanding his horizons, doing a lot of traveling. You guys are traveling recently, up until you opened up Manolito, Cuba, London, I believe.
Yeah. We're going to Cuba next week, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
So we're going back. It's the first time we've been back since we opened up Manolito,
yeah,
which is named in honor of the former head barman of the Floridita.
Ah, cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So we got to get back there. But yeah, then we did another Jewel preview in London, and then back we did one in New York with Souther at his bar Blue Quarter.
Oh, great.
So
tell us a little bit about the concept, and then we'll get back to the weekend recap. But
sure, yeah. So, well, Jewel of the South was a bar that was open in New Orleans sometime in the 1830s or 40s, and the gentleman that opened it was Joseph Santini, who ran the St. Charles Hotel before that, which was the most opulent hotel in America for a long time.
Awesome.
And so he ran this place until 1869 when he sold it and traveled for a few years before his death. But while he was there, he invented the Brandy Crusta, which is a very important drink. It was the first, like, single serving cocktail to have fresh juice in it.
Ah, okay.
He was a little bit ahead of his time. Like, Wandrich postulates that Jerry Thomas actually worked for him, which is how he became the only other bartender referenced in his Bon Vivant's companion.
Interesting.
He was a little bit ahead of his time though, because he, you know, sold in 1869, and that was like right when things were starting to really ramp up with the golden age of cocktails and everything. So we felt he's gotten short shrift as a barman and wanted to bring back his legacy. So.
So bar nerds from all over the world are going to flock to this.
Bar nerds, New Orleans nerds, like it's his style was very garish and flamboyant and big, and we want to really inhabit that space with Jewel.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, in New Orleans, it's not bar nerds; it's just regular people.
New Orleans. We never stop drinking Sazeracs there.
Real quick, in other news, DC Nightmare, Sean Townsend has been.
DC finally announced its new Nightmare. Does New Orleans have one?
It's a
liaison between generally the nightlife restaurants and bars with the DC the Council of the city.
Oh, really?
So London has one, New York has one, a couple of cities have one. It's kind of this new strategy of connecting the two, like day walkers versus night walkers.
Yeah.
But there seems to be some kind of out of the gate, already people are kind of complaining that.
Yeah, they basically hired a bureaucrat to run
the
office of nightlife.
They're focusing on the wrong
and not
place.
Get anyone. I mean, London has a DJ, like a legitimate DJ who is their nightlife mayor. And so they didn't. They kind of, I feel like DC dropped the ball a little bit.
Yeah, our nightlife guy's going to be dealing with rats.
Nightmare.
Trash,
nightmare.
I was thinking like nightmare, like.
Oh, no, no. Oh. Nightmare. Night czar?
Yeah, I thought you meant nightmare.
Czar?
Nightmare.
We'll see what happens.
It could be the nightmare mayor.
An article that Matthew brought up last week about Kevin Alexander, who wrote an op-ed about feeling apologetic for
kind of
killing America's best burger joint out in Portland, Oregon. Actually, new information has come out that he's getting a little bit of flack that he did not report the entire story, and that the real reason why the restaurant shut down was because of domestic issues.
Domestic issues. A lot of
criminal domestic issues.
Stuff you don't really like. Behind every good burger, there's a lot of weird creepiness. But
right. Well, if you've been on Twitter, if you follow anyone, any of the major food writers, everyone's been kind of opining about whether it is the journalists nowadays, whether food journalists should be talking about backgrounds of restaurant owners and restaurateurs. And
right.
We have our own issues here in D.C. So
everywhere right now.
Yeah, everywhere, right?
Yeah. Dominique Crenn became first female chef to get 3 Michelin stars in the U.S., congratulations to that whole team, Brian Jacobs and Johnny Black, shout out. Also, our friends over at Single Thread over in Healdsburg, California. Andrew Horry.
Andrew.
Know you're listening.
Congrats.
All right.
Well,
Nate, I think, has dutifully prepared some wonderful cocktails for us.
All right. So our first drink, this is Chris's. You want to describe? I feel weird that you have to describe your own drink because it is literally almost your drink. It's a French 75.
Salut.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Thank you, Nate.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, boys. Here we go.
We'll share this around with all the extra hands.
Yeah.
All right. The French 75, I think a lot of people have seen it on menus. It's usually with a clear spirit like gin, but this one in particular uses cognac. Chris, why do we use cognac?
Well, originally it was cognac, but it was made more popular by gin with Harry's ABC's book. But for me, it's a more complete cocktail with cognac. Properly aged spirit rounds it off nicely. This is delicious, by the way.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, one down. and we do have a second shift drink coming up. We'll go jump into that after the break. We'll take our time with this.
Yeah. Drink. What is the historical significance of the French 75 in New Orleans? Is there one?
Well, we helped repopularize it. It was Counter Node's favorite cocktail. He made his own version of it called the Ambrosia. but when they named the bar after it, kind of like it was good timing with the cocktail revolution, and it actually is like, it's like one of our favorite quotes in New Orleans is everything worth doing is worth overdoing. And when we make more than we, you know, it's like we stole Mardi Gras, the Fleur-de-Lis, and the Pimm's Cup, and now we obviously you can't think about the French 25 without thinking about New Orleans, even though it was made in France. But even bartenders today think it, you know, comes from New Orleans. So,
am I going out on a limb and saying that you've kind of the French 75 is almost now, at least with it in the bartending community, it's pinned on your shoulder, like you are Mr. French 75. Do you feel comfortable having that weight on your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than being Mr. Ramos Gin Fizz, no doubt.
You know? I do feel bad. I feel bad for Mr. Ramos.
Is that something you want to get rid of? Are you ready to move on? Because you have moved on from Arnaud's French 75.
No,
and you've opened up these new bars.
He has to make a million before he gives up.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud about the.
Is that a burned reference?
Is that a shitty?
No, he's really working towards making. What is it? A million? Is that the number?
Yeah, I'm almost there.
It's very Bradley Cooper.
Okay, don't watch the movie Bradley Cooper. But
No, I mean I'm very proud of it actually. Okay. You know, I made it in 13 different countries, two hemispheres. You know, Travis Tober likes to joke that he wants to fly me to the moon so I can make one on the moon. Not too funny. But, I mean, you know, made one in Cuba at Floridita, you know, presentation. It was pretty amazing.
That's super cool.
But using, obviously, Havana Club 7. But it was still pretty, pretty awesome. So, you know, life gives you lemons. You make French 75s, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Nick, for you, would it be the daiquiri? If there would have been one for you,
maybe I've made a lot of those.
Sherry Cobbler,
Nada Colada,
Nada Colada, yeah. I think. Well, especially with Modelito, we've got three blenders on the bar there, so we're constantly churning out Floridita daiquiris.
Yeah.
Like they should be made. You know, frozen and delicious and cooling, yeah. And the first thing you want on 110 degree. Day with 98% humidity.
All right, Nate, we're putting that on the menu at room 11. The Floridita, yeah. The Blended Florida. Yeah.
What brought you guys together? Because you guys,
that's a very good question. I think just being in New Orleans, it's a small town, tight knit community. And for this particular project, I opened up Cane and Table and worked with Kirko for a long time.
Right.
And I left that group and went to work in London for about 6 months last year. And the night, like a couple nights before I left, I went to French 75 and sat at the bar and we waited till close and had a cigar. And I was like, so what do you think of this idea? Call me crazy.
That's kind of how all good ideas start though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so... we were actually last October on our way to Cuba, and we were in Atlanta airport on a layover, and he hadn't talked about Jewel of the South yet, so I thought he thought I was crazy. But we were sitting in the airport, and he's like, so what's up with Jewel? You know, are we doing this? I was like, are we? Like, I think we should. And so that's where it all sort of like started to come together.
It's usually the case. One person remembering a drunken conversation more than another. And then somehow with a concept.
Pretty sure that's how Ship Drink came to be as well.
All good things.
It's that, did we just become best friends?
I think that was Jack's fault actually for Ship Drink forcing us together.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
Funny because there are a number of bartenders who are kind of coming together. I think of Don Lee, who was on our show, and Dave Arnold. They've teamed up to become like the bartender super bands are now a thing.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just like there's been enough generations of the cocktail movement now in the last 20 years that now more bartenders are deciding to become owners instead of like I guess it's been that way for a while, but more
Castro
people
and Patino.
Yeah, more people are teaming up now. Yeah.
Hold on to your butts.
It's about to get exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess before we get too far, we usually have a game that we like to play called Two Truths, One Lie.
Two Truths, One Lie. Cut
out his. I got Jameson last night. The guy that was leaving, Saeed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's killing me. I hope I make it through the show. I apologize.
Keep drinking the 75
in advance.
Yeah, to be fair, you're only three shades above green right now.
Yeah. We love you, Chris. He is impeccably dressed, though, and of course,
both the gentlemen. That's the unfortunate thing about radio is you can't see my cool neckerchief, but B, we have a beautiful embroidered jacket that you guys will be able to see tonight if you come to the thing, and then Chris is fucking decked out in a killer hat and fly collar.
Mm-hmm. I think New Orleans just has one step. They just do it one step better.
Yeah. Everything. Well, it's the time of year where we flourish in New Orleans too, because the weather's beautiful and it's about to be carnival season.
Yeah.
Can't get better.
Well, this is a game basically to kind of get to know you guys better. A couple days ago, I asked you guys to prepare two truths and one lie. Eddie and I are going to try to figure out what is what.
Okay. Should I go first?
Yeah.
All right. I can play some sick polka riffs on the accordion. I once lived in Japan for a while. The third being I used to practice vegan taxidermy.
Oh, man, that sounds so rad.
What?
I don't know what that is. Is that like making, like animating tofu? I don't understand.
Is it, well, am I supposed to answer or should you figure it out first?
Wait. Do you know, John?
Oh, I know.
You do know, okay.
I know.
Business partners are a very close relationship.
We didn't discuss these earlier, but...
okay. What was the first one again?
I can play some sick polka riffs on the accordion.
I feel like that's probably true. That's like a New Orleans...
It's taxidermy.
I feel like that's like the standout should not be real, because like, what is that? But I feel like it's a trick.
I want it to be real. I'm a big fan of taxidermy.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw it. I want it to be real so bad, I'm not going to even look at that one. I think you've never lived in the... it's the polka or Japan.
You never lived in Japan.
You never lived in Japan.
Yeah.
Yes! Jack, we're going to need a bigger celebration.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But vegan taxidermy.
Very well done.
Nice. Tell us about vegan taxidermy.
So when I lived in... I grew up in and around Bloomington, Indiana. And... I was a vegan and got into taxidermy, so I started...
Nate just lost his mind. Nate has no idea what to do with that.
So I would go to roadkill dump sites and scavenge.
What are roadkill dump sites?
So most highway departments have like some place out of the way where they'll take, you know, those cement dividers on highways where they have construction?
Yeah.
So the one that I went to a lot in Bedford, Indiana... They built these like basically two trenches, and in the mornings they drive around and pick up the roadkill and deposit them there and then cover it with dirt. So I'd just be there in the morning waiting for the truck to come up so I could get fresh cream of the crop.
Oh my God.
And sometimes I would, I remember once I was with a buddy who was trying to put on a music festival and wanted my help with it. So we drove out to the site where it was going to be, and on the way back, I was like, wait, pull over. And he's like, what's wrong? And there was a goose on the side of the road. I was like, I need that goose. And then my sister hates me because she was my roommate at the time. And I put the goose in the freezer, and then the power went out. And she was out of town. But she came back because the apartment was full of flies.
Oh, God.
So she walked in. I was holding a box fan with fly tape hanging all over the ceiling, just trying to blow all the flies into the fly tape.
I'm like, picturing, this is like a scene out of Seven, by the way. What's in the box? Holy fuck. Elizabeth, if you're listening, I just found my new hobby. You don't by chance have any like coyotes with a beer, drinking a beer, do you?
No, that's
on my list.
The last piece that I had went out in a Secret Santa a couple years ago.
Okay.
But I did.
Are you retired from the vegan taxidermy?
I haven't. Yeah, I haven't done it since I lived in Bloomington, so it's been over a decade. But I, you know, I did a part of a bear once.
Part? What part?
The head.
Okay.
I couldn't carry the whole thing.
The left shoulder.
But yeah, a lot of practice on squirrels and raccoons.
So. Okay. Well, fuck, man. I don't even care about the polka anymore. Like that's just that's super cool. But you do play.
Yeah, I've got my accordion is. I'm the fourth generation to have this particular accordion.
Oh, cool.
And so polka has always been my maternal side of the family.
Big okay.
Thing. So yeah, my aunt taught me some riffs, and I break it out and play it pretty often. So
and you were saying before you're from Indiana.
Yeah,
polka is huge in Indiana.
Not really. Just, yeah, our little nerdy household. I had to learn how to play all the Weird Al covers I could.
Yeah. Amazing. All right, Chris, you ready?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Mine's going to be a little easier. I made more French 75s than anybody in the world dead or alive. I was born in D.C. I'm colorblind.
I mean, one explains how he dresses.
Zing.
Chris, you weren't born in D.C.
I
feel like I would have heard that.
Yeah, I feel like I would have heard that, too. Yeah. Also, I mean, obviously, number one's true. Number two.
That's funny. Colorblindness is common enough in men.
DC is a lie. DC is a lie.
You were not born in D.C.
No, yeah, I was.
Oh, you were born in D.C.
But I mean, I'm not from here. My dad was in the Navy, so we just...
Okay.
We
just oh, wow.
Yeah,
do you know what hospital you were born in?
The Naval Hospital?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wherever that is. Yeah. We didn't really live here, so we would go to Hawaii that same year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we do have a D.C. native. Great.
keeping it relevant, guys.
Should we... Oh, well, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Then we're going to cut into like...
Yeah, Nate's about to finish up his next drink, yeah.
Listening to the Lost Bayou Ramblers here. This is the Granny Smith instrumental. We're coming right back.
Very apropos.
Yeah, shout out to Johnny Campos.
Yeah. welcome back. You're listening to Shift Drink with myself, Eddie Kim, and Chris Hanna and Nick Dietrich. Am I saying that right?
Dietrich.
Okay, Dietrich, sorry.
It reads like get richer or debt rich or die trying, but
from New Orleans, they're in town for the night tonight to do a little pop up over at Tail Up Goat.
Yeah, everyone show up. It's gonna be great. A little bar takeover. Be featuring about 7 cocktails that you're gonna have at the new joint.
Yep.
And then let's put them to work.
How did you guys get involved with the Tail Up crew?
Through John, our business partner. We met John because he throws a really baller Halloween party in New Orleans every year, and nice. Chris and I have both worked it a number of times.
Awesome.
But usually John and Jill come down for that.
Awesome.
I keep hearing about these parties that you throw, the Halloween party, the 12th night party that Chris throws at Arnaud's, and then hopefully at Jewel.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be there.
Yeah. And then last night we were talking. I'm not sure if you remember. No.
sorry about that.
But
I'm gonna blame Saeed on that.
Saeed, that's what he does to people. You talked about your love of the second line.
Oh, right.
Which
on.
Is quintessential New Orleans. How did you fall in love with it, and why don't we have it up here?
Do you guys have social aid and pleasure clubs here?
Not really, no. Not that I'm aware of.
It's kind of a southern thing, but each of, you know, they get their, the itinerary goes out, and they all draw a Sunday, and it's usually from August to May, end of May. And it's just every Sunday.
Yeah, it's Labor Day to Father's Day, right?
Yeah. The last one's in the first week of June, whenever Father's Day is. But, you know, every Sunday, you know, they just have their own routes. They have their own stops. And I usually try to go and catch at least one stop. And because over half of them are in my neighborhood anyway. So it's either Treme or Central City.
Right. And these are the big, I mean, for people that might not know what that is. It's just like...
Yeah, what is the second line for those who haven't been to
it? It's just that they get to celebrate. It's like their own parade. And brass bands are like in front and behind, and they're on a float, and they're all dressed up. And I mean, their outfits are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like very, you know, inspiring.
Yeah, if you saw the show Treme, like in the opening credit sequence, there's the guy like with the umbrellas and stuff like that. That's they're at a second line there.
Right.
Yeah, my favorite stop of all time was Commander's Palace.
Ah, nice.
Because I was just like, they're not stopping at Commander's Palace. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. But I'm looking at the route and it says you're stopping at Commander's Palace. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, it's like all these, you know, nice looking people going to brunch on a Sunday have no idea what's going to be. And the picture that I have is truly, it's amazing.
Cool.
And they did. And all the U-Hauls pulled up and it's like all these makeshift bars. And I mean, I got a peach Ciroc. It was, you know, and a Heineken. I'm just like, you got to be kidding. For a half an hour, the entire front of Commander's was just...
Okay, so stopping at Commander's Palace for a second line is like taking a parade down to the Inn at Little Washington.
Right.
And like chugging a Heineken there. That's like what the equivalent is. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
By the way, what was the lie? Did we ever...
Oh, yeah, I'm not colorblind. Sorry.
He's not colorblind. He has full color perception.
He
guys.
Chooses what he wears on purpose.
It may look like I'm colorblind, but.
No. I think it's maybe time for round two.
Second drink. This is Nick's drink. A little surprised, actually, by this choice, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a good martini. Like it's probably the drink that I drink most often. So,
do you remember your first martini?
Oh man, no, I was definitely making them before I had one. I think. But like you know, not great ones.
Right.
Like,
yeah, because you said you're off air. You said your first.
Yeah, so, well, I didn't really make them there. That was more like red snappers, redheaded sluts, and things like that. But my first bar gig was at a bar in the basement of an old moose lodge in Indiana. The bar was called Bullwinkle's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Even the second time I hear it, it's so funny.
But I also worked at a jazz club there, so we made, you know, it was, you know, when in the teeny era, so we had a martini list.
I mean, is that what it's called, like looking backwards? Because that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a better word for it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it wasn't like a cocktail menu, it was a teeny list.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and it was basically any combination of liquors, you put teeny on the end of it and you have a drink.
I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant, but like to this day and point, like there's like people still ask for espresso martinis even though they're like they're not on the menu. It's like some kind of carryover thing.
Well, I'm a big fan of the espresso martini.
You are.
It's one of my guilty pleasures.
When I was working in London, I made a ton of espresso martinis. It's like we did two different kinds of shots at the bar that I worked, mixed shots. They were espresso martini shots or grasshopper shots.
Mm. but what is this martini that we're drinking, Eddie?
Oh, I had a bottle of gin from Argentina sitting on my shelf, so I thought we could use it. Apostoles, made with herba mate, pink grapefruit, eucalyptus, something that might be volcanic rock, as I was trying to translate on the label. It's nice. I mean,
it's nice. Yeah, it's got like a lot of mint to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. 2-to-1 dry with dry vermouth, mm-hmm. Ready to go.
Are there martini no-nos for you? What are your like? What like drives you nuts when people?
I mean, I feel like it's a pretty forgiving drink. Like I think like, you know, even if it's just chilled gin, like a Duke's martini, that's awesome. If it's 50-50, that's great. We have a martini on the menu at Monolito because, well, one, I love the drink, and it's easier for me to drink a bunch of them if it's on the menu.
Put that on the menu, please.
Yeah. but we also, you know, Monolito, we also, we don't shake and stir a lot, but we blend and throw a lot.
Okay.
Just because, like, you know, the throwing technique was brought to Cuba by Miguel Blades, who owned the Floridita prior to Constant Ribalagua. He went back to Barcelona and opened up Bar Boates, which is still there. And there they throw, like, every drink.
And throwing, just for our listeners, this is basically the act of kind of, like, high pouring.
Yeah, basically where you have two tins and you keep your ice in one vessel. And using a julep, you kind of pour it about, you know, 3 or 4 feet over it. So it's like a gentle aeration with, like, bigger bubbles. It's great for, like, any drink with aromatized wine, like a, you know, a martini with, like, a good portion of vermouth.
I mean, Nate, I know from working with you, you are a huge fan of throwing cocktails.
I think just certain cocktails benefit from it, and you couldn't really do anything else to those cocktails to make them shine as much.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, throwing is very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody Mary, I think, is one of those cocktails.
Yeah, really, definitely.
Really opens up. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, and that's a great way to really just impress someone who just drinks beer and Bloody Marys, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was totally blown away at Bar High Five.
Awesome.
I asked to order a tuxedo, and they throw it.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay, this makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do we even stir it? Why do we stir a tuxedo? Why do we stir a martini?
Yeah. We're making a tuxedo riff tonight, actually. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, hot.
Okay. Getting drunk on one of those.
Was Mr. Bueno there when you went?
Bueno-san was there, but it was his head bartender. I forget her name, but
right on.
It was actually her technique. She's the one who introduced it.
Oh, awesome.
And she did it in competition.
I made a French 25 there.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's such a dream.
It was hilarious. As soon as
you
I
You could
sat,
say that about any bar.
As soon as I sat down, a guest walked in and ordered the French 25, and he refused to make it. He goes, well, I'm not going to make the French 25 with this gentleman here. He's going to have to make it for you. And I was like, you got to be kidding. But yeah, Bueno sounds awesome. It was really cool.
If you were at your bar and someone ordered it, what drink would you have him make if someone ordered a drink at your bar and you refused to make it?
Tuxedo.
Tuxedo? You'd have him make the tuxedo.
Right.
Yeah. What is a tuxedo?
It's, oh my God, it's a martini, but with sherry instead of gin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you, when you decide to throw something, how do you decide that, like, as opposed to stirring, I mean, shaking too. Sometimes, I mean, I've thrown big tiki flavored cocktails that have benefited from it. What's your?
I mean, like, the sort of like easiest rule is if it has a good like amount of fortified or aromatized wine in it, like sherry or vermouth or you know, anything like that, Chianti. But also, like, if it's a drink that. Like, I think there's certain drinks that don't work well thrown either, though. Like, a Manhattan, for instance. Like,
yeah.
I want that to be closer to room temp, and I want, like, it to be silky and smooth with no aeration whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just, like, a case-by-case basis. But the biggest variable, I would say, is aromatized or fortified wine.
And then when the Cubans did it, when at Manolito, what type of drinks would they throw?
So, well, I mean, so we actually were in Cuba last year for the Floridita's 200th anniversary, and the guys who own Bar Boates now were there, and so we all threw drinks, and we threw Mary Pickford's. Is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just think that I also had, I had the worst one though, didn't I?
I had the best and you had the worst. Yeah. That's what they said. But there, it was weird though because we shook it and then threw it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, so speaking of Japan, good friend, you might remember him, Brian Keats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I asked him. I told him he would be on the show, and I asked him a question. Actually, specifically, like he remember drunkenly one night he told me that so many great bartenders have come out of New Orleans, and I think he actually pinpointed Chartres Street. And like he named all the bars that like a lot of bartenders came out of, Sobu, Kingfish, Doris, Metropolitan, Angeline, Chart Room. Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I read that Chart Room.
Chart Room.
Chart Room. That's what happens if you close that place down.
There's potty humor. I guess what differentiates? I guess. Look, what differentiates New Orleans from other cities, the French Quarter from other neighborhoods, Chartres Street from other streets?
I mean, I feel like there's a million answers to that question.
Yeah.
It's an amalgamation of so many like very unique things that happened in New Orleans over the course of the last 300 years. You know, it's joie de vivre. It's any excuse to throw a party. It's love of a good drink. It's not just drinking a lot, but it's drinking well. It's a big
thing. It's kind of like the Nashville, what Nashville is the music, what, you know, New Orleans is the cocktails.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cocktails and food and also just vibrancy and festivals. You know, like we basically have a party every week out of the year for some reason or another, whether or not it's a po' boy festival, a Creole tomato festival, Mardi Gras, Croix de Vue before Mardi Gras, like there's always something going on. And I think like the people that live there, like if you live there, you really have to commit to that lifestyle too.
Yeah. Life expectancy is about half of what it is in DC.
Yeah, but so much fuller.
But let's flip the question around. You've been here a couple times. Chris, I mean, you've traveled here too. Like what?
I mean, you were born here.
Yeah. You've got DC in your blood. Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
That, yeah. That's what they tell me. But
What does DC have, or what does it need? Or what?
I like all the row homes, man. I like whatever that rule was where you couldn't have like skyscrapers or something.
Yeah.
Right.
The houses nothing higher than the Capitol.
Yeah, all the like walk around the neighborhoods is just, I love it. That was really cool. We were talking about buying one on the corner. I like those cone top things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Give me that one over there with the cone top.
You guys have the Ricky here. I mean, Derek Brown's really proud of that. Right?
I also, on that to your former point though, I love that last night he was talking about if you walk around in New Orleans, you can tell which houses were rebuilt by Northerners because they put peaks on their roofs
interesting.
In case of snow, but it never snows in New Orleans.
Right. That's fair. But yeah, you guys in the last couple of days have kind of hit all the spots.
Yeah, I think we've done a good job. Yeah, I'd give us an A.
A little too much last night, but yeah.
Were there pleasant surprises? Were there things that kind of inspired or...
Definitely pleasant surprises.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every place was a pleasant surprise. Yeah, like just because there were a lot of places we hadn't been before. So
a lot of new places.
Yeah, there was just like, you know, like Passenger. I'd heard tons about it over the years, but I'd never been until last night.
And then we ran into another Shawn Mike, was that his name? Ran into another bartender there. That was cool.
Yeah.
Saw friends each night.
Yeah,
those were the pleasant surprises for me. It's been really, really nice.
Yeah, it's been nice to walk around because we like last night we were walking down the street and Trevor Fry ran out of a bar.
Yeah.
Good to see this guy.
Like, right on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was guest bartending at Bresca.
Yes, so we were actually about to walk in there, but he
pulled you in.
He can sprint, man.
Yeah,
Trevor, that guy has legs for days.
If you want to be entertained by an Instagram story feed, subscribe to Trevor Fry.
Or if you just want to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever open up anything here in the city?
I mean, nothing's out of the question, but I don't know if there's anything that I would want to do that would keep me away from New Orleans for long stretches. So.
Yeah.
You know, just... I mean, maybe in the summer, if we open up like a summer-only bar.
Yeah. Well, we do. We have been talking about coming here for every repeal day.
I went
last year, and it was awesome. And so that'll be a nice relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and DC repeal day ball is coming up on the 8th. Thank you for reminding me. I don't know if tickets are still available. I heard they might be sold out, but to definitely take a look.
Yeah.
Couldn't
do it this year because we're going to Cuba, but after I was talking to Nadira and a couple other people, we might do it every year.
Awesome.
That's great.
And also Vance's birthday party. That's a nice bash.
Yeah. I mean, New Orleans it's a city like studded with coctology. Is that cocktailology? Coctology. Yeah, I'm going to stick with coctology. How does one stand out or like make a name for themselves at this point in the game?
I think it just keep at it. Like, honestly, it's you know, if you can make people happy in New Orleans, you can make a good drink, you have good chat, then you'll do really well there. Yeah. But I think like we have a lot of people that roll in and out, and I mean, one of my favorite lines about New Orleans is if you can't make it in New Orleans, don't go anywhere because you're not going to make it anywhere.
You hear that, all you New Yorkers?
But no, it's really just like it's a long game in New Orleans. You know, the city's been around for 300 years. We've been mixing great drinks there for half that at least.
Yeah.
Cool. And so if you stick it out, you'll do well.
Cool. Well, I think it's time we maybe cut to a little game of rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Yeah, you guys got a little prep to do before your pop up. So let's
do this. Chris, this game is specifically designed for you in this state of mind.
Yes,
that's not good.
We're gonna ask you some rapid fire questions, and then you guys just respond, kind of tip of the tongue, whatever rolls off. Eddie Kim.
Go-to karaoke song.
Oh, that's easy.
I have a set list.
I only do one.
Whoa.
Yeah, I only do one. He has a list.
How about, do you guys do duet?
No.
Chris, what's your song?
King of the Road. It's nice. The only one I do. Nice. I even did it in Japan.
Is that challenging, being colorblind?
Actually, yeah.
You can't tell which words are highlighted.
I even did that song in Moscow.
Oh wow!
Yeah, King of the Road. It's the only one I do.
And what's your like? Give me like the creme de la creme of your karaoke.
Well,
songs.
So I always warm up with "Torn" by Natalie Imbruglia. Okay. and after I've stretched with that song, I do "The Real Slim Shady."
Nice.
Wow. And that has to be second because I can't have more than like a drink or two, otherwise you just lose it. Is that yours too?
No, Nate is a Eminem fan.
Oh, okay.
That is one of my two karaoke songs is an Eminem song.
Nice, okay. Nice. And then after that, I'll usually find some sucker to do a Love Shack with me.
All right, first celebrity crush.
Ooh, Elizabeth Shue.
Nice.
I don't know. Audrey Hepburn.
True rapid fire. Hey, no judgment. There's rapid fire, guys.
No, there's judgment.
No, we're going to let that sit for a second.
And that's all of our questions. That was it.
Oh, God. What am I going to ask? Chris, what is your deathbed meal?
Ooh. Champagne and sushi.
Fuck yeah. That's a good one.
That's good. Mine's pizza, cheese pizza with caviar and champagne.
Dude, that's mine. Yeah, I fucking love that shit.
Awesome.
Caviar on pizza?
It's amazing.
So
oh
good.
My God.
Little shoot pick caviar on a pizza delicious
after pie? After no. Robin Leach died, my fiance went out and like sourced some caviar for me, and we had champagne, pizza, and caviar. It was amazing.
It's the best.
Oh, wow. you need to buy a neckerchief.
Yeah.
You guys are basically
twins. My Christmas list is easier now. Thank you for that.
How about this? What is on your Christmas list? Number one, top.
Gift. New for me?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, for me. New hat, probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a solid hat. Yeah. Solid hats are hard to find.
Is that a Meyer?
This one is a Meyer.
Yeah. Nice. Meyer the Hatter. Great job in New Orleans.
John, actually, I wanted to ask John, your deathbed meal.
Oh, I would also go with champagne, but oysters.
Champagne and oysters. Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little caviar on top, too.
Yeah, why not?
What are two weird food combinations you both really enjoy?
Pizza and caviar.
Yeah, I guess that kind of counts. That was kind of. We kind of set you up on the last one.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what a weird combo is. I mean, crawfish and something.
Crawfish and grapefruit.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Crawfish and packets of Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning.
That's disgusting. Oh no, that's what we have to do for Tober. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Travis Tober, what a chump.
No, I'm just joking. Ooh, I have one. Is there a bar or a cocktail that you said you've been to or had, but you actually haven't?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Playing to our...
Well, I know his answer is Dukes.
It's usually television or a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. I mean, why would you lie about that? Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't be talking.
I don't know. That's a good question, but
that's a really good question. But I don't think I.
You guys are prolific drinkers. We get that. Okay.
We get it. We get you it. Drink.
Yeah, I think I lie more about where I don't drink.
Yeah. There we go. Well, kind of speaking to that, do you guys have a guilty cocktail pleasure?
Creme de menthe frappe.
Oh, that's man, that's sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there any of them are guilty. I love a pina colada.
This is the man who's fully embraced all of his passions.
Yeah. I love a pina colada. I love a Ohan frappe.
That's not guilty.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are guilty.
Well, on that same
note. I do love a well-made red snapper.
Okay.
Not a gin Bloody Mary, but Crown Amaretto and cranberry.
That's guilty.
Yeah.
You're guilty, son.
When I worked on Bourbon Street, I made a lot.
On that note, actually, we're going to do our last rapid fire question, but we actually call it something a little bit special.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck, marry, kill.
What is that?
So
you've never played this game?
No.
This is, again, another game designed specifically for you. You have to choose one to fuck, one to marry, and one to kill.
It's usually with people.
Oh.
But.
No,
but you know, we're a podcast, so we do things like liquors stolen from your parents' booze cabinet. That's today's theme. Amaretto, Midori, and Bailey's Irish Cream.
Okay, I can do this.
All right, you got it. Okay. You ready?
Wait, is Midori, Bailey's, and what was the other one?
And
Amaretto.
Amaretto. Okay. Fuck Amaretto. Nice. Marry Midori. Kill Bailey's.
Oh man, I'm so happy you married Midori.
No.
No, I like that.
You know Haim Darman from New York?
Yeah.
His Midori sour with pear brandy? Amazing.
Oh man, that sounds
actually great. That sounds
good. Don't tell Morgenthaler. I'm gonna marry Amaretto and kill Bailey's.
Yeah.
Bailey's is dead either way.
Yeah. Okay. And sleep with Midori.
It's a one night stand with Midori.
I mean, Midori's sexy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
AF. Well, you guys, thank you for joining
thank
us.
You so much.
We know we got to get you off to tell go to do things. Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, like the Spotify. Find us on all the social media as @ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or Spotify, or give us a 1-star review on Yelp.
I did look us up on Yelp. We are not on Yelp yet, so I think that's on us.
Oh, okay. We'll do that. Special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for intro music, DJ RecTech for our sound effects, Nate for bartending tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Next week,
Nate. John, also, thank you for coming joining us.
We welcome back Bill Murray with open arms as he discusses his new holiday baking collaboration with Fred Durst. I did it all for the cookie.